here tonight.
Amen.
It's good to be here, isn't it?
Yeah,
amen. I love coming to church here.
Yes, amen.
You know why I love it? I like the Word of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I fell in love with that Word back when I got saved about 1974. Y'all add that one up. How many of you love Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. I like worshiping the Lord too, and that goes on here.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. And I know the last message, which was a shotgun message, I think that's what the preacher said it was, gave you a bunch of facts and a bunch of points and all that stuff. I got another thought here. I've been studying Philippians for quite a while, meditating on this passage of Scripture. And let me just say something. If you want God to really speak to you, you just take a passage and meditate on it a while. And just keep going back to it and keep digging in it and keep searching.
Amen.
And I promise you, the Lord will bless you. And Philippians chapter 1, and I want to read my text verse here, where the thought for my message tonight is in verse 19, but I do want to read a few more verses here. And I've got a handout here I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you this handout now because y'all be looking at it and you won't be paying attention. But at the end of my message, I'm going to hand it out. And however the Lord leads, would y'all allow me to do that? Let the Lord lead me? Okay. And then, but my text verse is verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute and use that as my text verse. And my thought in this message, it comes right out of that verse, the supply of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Y'all see that in that verse?
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring you up to that verse there with some reading in just a minute. Would you bow as we pray? Dear Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that I'm able to breathe and to share your word. What a blessing it is to know you saved. Know the Word of God is the truth. Not one mistake. Not one failure. And Lord, all truth is your truth. Thank you tonight for your Word. And then, what a blessing it is to share the Word. And I'm thankful you give me this opportunity. Now, I ask you, Lord, to help us all tonight. When we go away from here, we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you showed me. Help me to fulfill that in my life. Lord, please help me, because without you, I'm sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Lead us, O Lord, I pray, and speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Paul had a powerful witness.
Yes, he did.
He was in house arrest when he wrote this epistle to the Philippian church. And from what I've read, this is his most personal letter to any church, is the book of Philippians. Go back to verse 12, and I want you to see just quickly that Paul's witnessing. He had the marks of a faithful witness. He was under persecution, but he this passage here and what he says in verse 19 refers to what he was, how the Lord helped him during that time of his witnessing. Look at verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. As I said, Paul was under persecution. But he kept his witness. He was faithful in his witness. And he said he had assurance that what he was facing because of his witness and spreading the gospel. Of course, you see how it spread in all the palace and the Roman palace and all the way up to the hierarchy in the Roman colony there or out there at Rome. But he had confidence, he said in verse 19, for I know. I know that I'm going to be able to come to you. That's what his desire was as you study this passage here, this chapter 1. I know, and how do I know that God's going to deliver me to that? Because it's going to happen through your prayers, the prayers of the Philippian church. Now, I got to insert this right here. I hope one name you call every day is your pastor's name.
Yeah, amen.
Every day.
Amen.
When you start getting ugly-minded about your pastor, you need to go to your knees and start praying for him.
Amen.
You think he's perfect? No, sir. He's not perfect. He'll tell you that. None of us are.
Yeah,
we just got the burden of taking care of God's flock.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's a higher place and another judgment that all that preach the gospel are going to stand before the Lord and give an account of every word. Now that's scary, isn't it? And before we start criticizing those that are over us, do it after you pray for them, see how that works. Paul said, hey, I'm coming to you, and it's going to be through your prayers. God's going to deliver me from this. He had that assurance. And the supply of the Spirit. I want to teach you a few things about the Spirit of God. Okay? I got about 5 things here, and I'm going to run as quick as I can. And I got a handout, and I tell you what, I could be here to 10 o'clock tonight, and everybody in here would leave me, and I'd understand that.
Yeah.
I've got enough scripture and all that, and you'll see that when I get to it. I'm going to try to condense it to one place. Let me give you the first thing. If we understand more about the Spirit of God, we'll know how He helps us. Paul said, through your prayers and... You could just say the help of the Spirit of God. First of all, I want you to know that the Spirit of God, all who belong to Christ, meaning those who are saved, have the gift of the Holy Spirit. It surprises me how many people don't know that.
Amen.
Do you realize that tonight?
Amen.
John 14:16 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth."
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. And then in Romans 8, verse 9, Paul said this to the Roman church. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." I promise you this. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He comes in you when you come to Christ. And He comes in you at that time. He baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism talked about in Ephesians. We're baptized in waters as obedience to what's already took place. And folks, I deal with that every time I go soul winning. I deal with, well, I've been baptized. I had a guy to tell me yesterday, it was. I was down in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And he had his wife, had his daughter there with him. And I questioned him about his salvation, and he gave me some off the wall junk. And then I said, "How about her?" And he, you know what he said? He said, she's been saved since she's been born." Ink.
Right.
He had that one wrong. Do you know if you got the Spirit of God in you, He bears witness with your spirit? There's not a person in this building that's saved that doesn't have the Spirit of God. I've been in churches before, and this is a long time ago, and I don't go in them churches anymore. And they come down and they just beg and beg and beg and beg, and they ignore the Word of God.
Amen. That's it.
When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you and He sealed you to the day of redemption. And He'll never leave you. That's the first thing I want you to know about the Spirit of God. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and that's not far away. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Go back to chapter 5 with me. The second thing I want to give you about the Spirit so we can understand what Paul's talking about here, the supply of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is, I want you to know this. The Lord desires for His people. The desire for His people is that they be filled with His Spirit, with the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Notice what He says in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Go down to verse number 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And make sure you get this verse, "submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." If you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's like being controlled by another substance. The Spirit of God controls you. If you're filled with the Spirit, and we ought to pray about that. "Lord, fill me with your Spirit." We ought to pray every day about that. "Lord, fill me with your Spirit." I want you to note several things about the Spirit of God here. It's like being controlled by another substance. Notice there's singing in your heart. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's singing going on. It ought to be hymns. It ought not to be this contemporary junk.
Right.
There ain't no such a thing as a rock Rock Christian group. That's something the devil dreamed up, and everybody just floods in there. That music just takes them away. Somebody, an old preacher, used to say, God never put a dancing foot on a bending knee. When you're praying. Amen. If you can't get encouraged by the word of God and say, amen, if Jesus don't cause you to sing and shout and make melody in your heart,
right.
I'm here to tell you that music won't do it.
Amen.
It'll make that flesh jump
and
bop around like a bebopper.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, if my wife started acting like that, I'd be ready to slap her. She's laughing back there. She does it all the time, really. Verse 19 is talking about psalms and hymns. And you say, well, that's for Israel. No, it's for us too.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
I like the Old Testament just as good as I do the New Testament.
Yeah.
And bless your heart, if God lays it on my heart to apply it to my life, you take it out of context, preacher. Well, just let me do that.
Yeah.
Don't pop all my bubbles.
Yeah.
Speaking, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
Here's another thing, thankfulness, giving thanks always.
Amen.
What?
Yeah.
For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to skip Jesus. Are you going to heaven when you die? Well, yeah. What makes you sure? Well, I tell you what, I got cremated back there somewhere. They didn't get cremated. Got baptized and all that stuff. Listen, when they start getting around Jesus,
yeah.
You can take it to the bank, and that's a false belief and concept. And guess who put it there?
Yeah.
Satan. Giving thanks, what about a thankful heart?
Yep.
When you're full of the Spirit of God and He's controlling you, boy, they're singing and shouting in your soul. You're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and you're giving thanks. You're thankful to God Almighty in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's submission. Submission. We don't like that word. Submitting to yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Me and my wife's been together 54 years and we've been submitting.
Amen.
Sometimes she submits to me, sometimes I submit to her, sometimes I turn my back, and sometimes she turns hers. But we always work it out.
Amen.
So, the second thing you need to know here, the Lord wants you to be filled with His Spirit. Now, I say this, pray about that.
Yeah, amen.
Don't pass this by and say, well, it don't really matter. I'm going to show you something else here in a minute. Let me give you a third thing here right quick. The Lord's desire for His people is that they not only be filled with His Spirit, but also that they walk in His Spirit. Go to Galatians, go back to Galatians. Probably most of you know all this. Galatians chapter number 5, go down to verse number 16. Did you know there's a warfare going on inside of you? Did you know when you get up in the morning that's a bad time? The flesh is usually winning. Sometimes I get up and I say, why did I dream such junk as that? And I say, oh flesh, oh wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
Folks, most of the nights I pray about my dreams. Lord, let me honor You in my dreams.
Amen.
You don't know what's in this computer that stuck way
That's
back
right.
there before you ever got saved.
Right.
And some of it, since you've been saved, you ain't been perfect since you've been saved.
Amen.
There's not a one in here that's been perfect since you've been saved.
Amen.
You might have been ashamed of the way you acted.
That's right.
and the way you done. Where am I? Verse 16. I want you to know there's warfare going on. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God wants us to walk. Not only, folks, does He want us to be filled with His Spirit, but He wants us to control that sinful nature, that wicked flesh, yeah, by walking.
Yeah.
By walking in the Spirit. That means the way you live, you seeking God and His Word, and you are walking to please the Lord.
Amen.
Notice what He says. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now you know this passage here. Here's how to know whether you're walking in the Spirit or not, or being led by the flesh. Y'all check it out. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at this list for just a minute. Boy, we could spend some time here. But you say, well, I'm not an idolater, and I'm not into witchcraft, and I'm not into hatred, and I'm not into wrath. Let me ask you something. You ever had trouble with envy?
Yeah, right.
You still have trouble with that? Yeah, say right there.
Yeah,
well, I'm not a murderer, and I'm not a drunkard, and I'm not a reveler. How about when you get angry? Is there any raft in that?
Yeah.
Christians still get angry? Sure they do. But you know what? We're to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Now let me show you something right quick. Go down to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Where's that at? Inward. Inward. When you're walking in the Spirit, you got love, joy, and peace. Amen. That's good, ain't it? You can look at your wife and say, boy, I sure love that girl. When you're walking in the Spirit, boy, she sure is pretty. I know now why I married her. She's so sweet. She's going to get me after we get home. She's going to say, you liar. Love, joy, peace. That's inside. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, you have those characteristics. How about long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness? That's outward. That's outward. That's how you treat others.
Yeah.
You got that inward peace and that love and that joy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the neighbor that just told you off, you're ready to just hang them.
That's right. That's good,
bro. Let me have trouble with road rage. Yeah. No, none of us. None but my wife. Boy, I'm really talking about her tonight, ain't I?
Yeah.
She's adding it all up and going... Long suffering. Need that in marriage, don't you? Gentleness. I'll tell you what, boy, it takes the grace of God for somebody like me to be gentle. Why don't you just do it this way? And what's wrong with you? That's not being gentle, is it?
Yeah, amen. That's good,
amen.
It takes a long time for some hard head like me to let the Holy Spirit of God cause me to be gentle. Goodness. Man, I know some folks that claim to be Christians and the neighborhood in the by the way, what does your neighbor think about you?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I mean, some of us in here know what we think about you when you're here. Are you ashamed to go to your neighbor's house?
Amen.
Boy, I'm meddling now, and that's for sure. But anyway, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, that's outward. Look at that, that's upward. Faith, meekness, and temperance. Yeah. I need a little self-control now instead of a big old belt.
Yeah.
I got these belts, and some of them got more holes in them than others. And when I get out of control with the table, I have to go to those belts that's got more holes in them. Because I'm going out like this. I hate that. I hate that. Did you know the Lord wants us to be filled with His Spirit?
Yes, He does.
Not only that, He wants us to walk in the Spirit.
Yes, right, yeah.
And I asked you this question, are you walking in the Spirit of God? Let me give you something else about this, the Spirit of God. The Lord's desire for His people is that they do not offend His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Did you know He wants to work in your life?
Yeah.
And in my life? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. Listen to this verse. And it's simple. Quench not the Spirit.
That's right.
That means when you're full of the Spirit of God and you're being filled with the Spirit of God and you're walking in the Spirit of God instead of walking in the flesh, then we're not to be offensive to Him. We're to be obedient to Him. That word quench, you can describe it like this. Don't put the fire out. Don't put the fire out. Something else in Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. That word grieve means, it means to be sad or sorrow. When we're disobedient to the Spirit of God, we bring Him sorrow. You remember when God judged the days of Noah and the flood came on the earth and the preacher's been preaching there on Wednesday night and those sorts of things and how it grieved God and how it repented God that He had even made man? Well, God's give us His Spirit and He wants us and He desires for us to be filled with His Spirit. He desires for us to walk in His Spirit and He does not want us to grieve Him.
That's right. Yeah,
bring Him to shame and to quench Him when He's trying to work in our hearts. Sometimes we get under conviction, don't we? Hopefully we do.
Yeah.
Hopefully do.
That's right.
We say, no, Lord. I could tell you story after story about how that works when you're out trying to, you know, get people saved. Let me give you the last thing here. The Lord's desire for His people is that they rely.
Yeah.
Rely on His Holy Spirit. That brings us back to our text. Paul said, the Holy Spirit's going to supply what I need. Whatever it is, I got confidence that He's going to supply what I need. I wonder if I get one of you guys to help me here. Nolan, you look chipper. I got 10 copies here. And here, 10 copies in. And look on one or another there if there's enough to hand out. The reason I've done that is I want to share these things here. And you can look right there. I got the outline for you. And I got the scripture there. Why God give His Holy Spirit? If we understand why God gave His Spirit, and the Bible says much about that, and I'm going to show you a few things it says right here in the time I've got left. It'll help us. See, we need Him. We need His help. I remember before I got saved, you know, there come a time, I didn't know God was dealing with my heart, but there come a time that I was challenged with being a Christian. You know what I said? You know, my excuse at that particular time, well, I remember it just as good as I remember yesterday. I'd say, you know, I can't live the Christian life anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'd just go on my way. Mm-hmm. I was confident, you know, that everything was all right then. You know what? I learned the devil was right. I can't.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
You mean me be like Jesus? Are you kidding?
Right, bro.
Yeah.
Without any help?
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
That's right, bro.
But I'm here to say tonight, Paul understood that the Spirit of God was what he needed.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Whatever he was facing in life, God done give him the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
And we have him in us. And he wants to control us, and he wants to do in us what we can't do ourselves.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Look at your printout here just a minute. Why? Why did God give us his Spirit? That'll help us understand what the supply of the Spirit is. Number one, if you'll notice, the Holy Spirit was given to be our compassion, our comforter. Look at that verse, John 14:16. And I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Second thing, the Holy Spirit was given to counsel us. Yeah. See that in John 14:26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'll guarantee you the Spirit of God will bear witness with the Word of God. He's all you need.
Yep.
All these theologians that's got their ideas, when it comes to untruth and it comes to what they think instead of what God thinks, the Holy Spirit says, boom, boom, here it is.
Right. Yeah, amen.
And I'm not saying don't study a commentary. I'm not saying that. And I love them men that give theirself to the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit was given to counsel us. The third thing, the Holy Spirit was given to give us courage.
That's right.
For witnessing, no matter the circumstances.
Amen.
John 15, look at it. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Then the Holy Spirit was given to put conviction in our lives and in our ministry. John 16:7-8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then the Holy Spirit was given to share the deep things of God with us. You know, a lot of people walking around, they're wondering about this and they're wondering about that. And these so-called scientists we have of the day, boy, they got it all figured out. They even know how big the black hole is. But they still saying, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or it could be.
Yeah.
They look at all these layers. And from this layer came this dumb looking platypus. And then, but oh, we found flowers down here. They ain't supposed to be down here. They're supposed to be up there. They're funny. Really, they're funny. Oh, man. Hey, if you don't understand something, you got the Spirit of God that'll help you. The problem with us is we don't know him.
Amen, bro.
And the flesh has to pay a price.
Yeah.
know him.
Yeah.
You have him in you and you still don't know him. Because you stay away. Why don't God bless me? Why don't God help me? Probably because you're trying to do it yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
And you don't know him when he speaks. Just like me.
Yeah, amen.
I want to know more. You know God wants us to seek him. Did you know the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity? And he's as much God as Jesus is, and he's as much God as the Father. You say, preacher, would you explain that to me? I can't.
Yeah.
I cannot. I won't even attempt it.
Yeah.
It's a silly question anyway. The deep things of God. What don't you understand? Did you know you got the one that'll help you understand and show you things that's dwelling inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What a great God.
Yes, amen.
Then I'd have you know the Holy Spirit was given to pray and intercede for us and to help us pray.
Yeah, right.
Help us pray. Mm-hmm. You ever get on your knees and you say, about 10,000 things come to your mind.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for this. You know, I ain't got time. And I promise you this, you ain't going to get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Old folks used to say, pray through.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, you got to humble yourself.
You're right.
You got the Spirit in you if you're saved.
Yep.
You ain't got His power. You got to seek Him. You got to surrender to Him. But isn't it good to know He prays for us and He intercedes for us just like Jesus at the right hand of God. But by faith I can see Him sitting at the right hand of God. And I know from the Bible He prays for me. But there's one that lives inside of us that He gave us also praying for us and helping us to pray.
Amen.
And to know how to pray and what to pray for. It's good, ain't it?
Yeah, amen.
The Holy Spirit was given to pray and intercede for us and to help us pray. Then the Holy Spirit was given to bear His fruit in us, and I just read you that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then the Holy Spirit was given to fill us and put a song in our and joy in our hearts. I already read you that. Be filled with the Spirit. And then finally, the Holy Spirit was given to us to give us assurance.
Yeah.
That we are the children, our children and heirs of God. None of us deserve to be there. But Romans 8 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I want to tell you something. You got a helper tonight. You got the Spirit of God in you, and there's a supply. Paul said, I'll tell you what. I've got assurance through your prayers and a supply of the Spirit of God that it's going to be all right.
Yeah, amen.
God's going to bring salvation. I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
One day. Would you bow as we pray? With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you know the Spirit of God's in you? Do you have Him? Well, how do I know, preacher, whether He's in me or not? Have you ever come to Christ and accepted Him as your Savior and trusted Him as your Savior and confessed your sin and believed on Him? At that very moment, the Spirit of God comes in you when you trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe somebody in here tonight has never trusted Christ. You're just going along life and saying, well, one day I will. That day may never come. Would you come to Him tonight? Set up a memorial tonight. This night I'm coming to be saved. You'll never forget it. You surrender to the Lord. Maybe there's a Christian here that, you know who's in charge? Me. I'm in charge of my life. The Lord needs to be in charge. You can't live the Christian life on your own. You got the Spirit of God in you to help you. Maybe somebody tonight, you just been disobedient and you grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You need to come tonight. God showed you that. Someone need to come. Would you stand with us, please? And Pastor, if you'll come. You'll come, Pastor, and close the service for us. Thank you, folks.